First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Father, we are thankful this morning for this privilege to assemble together in the house of God with your people. We thank you for your presence among us. Thankful, Lord, for the wonderful songs that we've heard this morning, the message in the songs. And Father, we rejoice in the fact that Jesus has set us free. And we rejoice in the fact that our sins have been forgiven and our names are written in heaven. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that Jesus loves us and wills that we be saved. And I pray that you'd help us this morning to be able to preach this message and speak as the oracles of God. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would encourage hearts in this service, that we reach out to you by faith. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In my text, Paul is pointing out to Timothy the priority of prayer. And I want to preach on one aspect of prayer this morning. I want to preach on intercessory prayer. Paul says to Timothy, this young preacher, I exhort that first of all, priority here be given to prayer. This really should be priority, not just for a preacher, but for all of God's children. First of all, prayer. This is the undergirding of all Christian service. Prayer. And so to the young preacher, Paul is pointing out to him the importance, the priority of prayer. Prayer involves supplications. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications. Supplications is petitionary prayers, making petition to God. And then he uses the term prayers, which is a very closely related term to supplications. And then he tells us that we're to give thanks. This is all aspects of praying. The Bible tells us in Philippians that we are to make our requests known unto God with thanksgiving. Prayer should always include thanksgiving. We should never go to God asking God, God, give me, give me, give me, without saying, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've already done in my life. God, help us and deliver us from an unthankful attitude. An unthankful attitude is an evil attitude. The Bible tells us that in the last days, men would be unthankful and unholy. And those two go together. And so, we're to make our requests known to God with thanksgiving. Oh, I pray that God will remind us right here in this service of His goodness to us. You will never worship a God that you do not behold the goodness of God. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Why did he say that? Because we are prone to forget all of His benefits. We're to make our requests known unto God with thanksgiving. You find me a Christian who is a thankful Christian, and I'll show you a Christian that's a victorious Christian. You show me a Christian who doesn't see and behold the goodness of God, who's always grumbling and complaining, and I'll show you a defeated Christian. But when we make our request known unto God, and we give thanks to God for all the benefits and blessings that we've enjoyed at the hands of God. And if we can behold those good things, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And God, help us right here in this service this morning, that God would turn our attention to the goodness of God and cause us to be true worshipers of God this morning. Hallelujah. I know you came here with troubles and trials and tribulations and perplexing things in your life, but I'm telling you, God's been good to us. And if you are in the very depths of despair, don't ever forget that Jesus loved you and went to the cross and died for you. And regardless of the circumstances of your life, you have the testimony of God's love to you. Jesus died on the cross for you. We've got something to thank God for this morning and to praise the Lord about them, because we are the object of the love of God. The Lord has demonstrated His love to us. So prayer involves thanksgiving, which also involves intercession. I pray, he said, I exhort that intercessions be made for all men. Intercessions, or interceding in behalf of someone else. The word signifies to draw near so as to converse familiarly. It can mean to plead for, or it can mean to plead against. So intercession can involve either pleading for or pleading against. You remember in Romans 11:2, Paul said, "Wot ye not what the Scripture says of Elias or Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel?" So intercession can be made for, or it can be made against. Intercession is being made for us. Every one of us here this morning, intercession is being made for us. For the Bible tells us in my text that there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder if Jesus is still on the job. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You remember that Peter had this idea that he would go with Jesus all the way to prison or into death. And Jesus predicted that he would deny the Lord three times. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Jesus is our intercessor, and He prays for us. He is our high priest, our mediator, our daysman. It was Job that prayed, "Oh, that there was a daysman betwixt me and God, and that he could lay his hand upon us both." And thank God we've got a daysman. Can lay his hand upon the Father, lay his hand upon us, and bring us together. Hallelujah. Jesus is our mediator, and Jesus is our intercessor, and Jesus prays for us. Not only is Jesus our intercessor, but the Holy Ghost is our intercessor. For the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, He said, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," our weaknesses. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, there's sometimes that our words can't express it. Sometimes the grief is too deep. Sometimes the sorrow is too great. Sometimes the burden is too heavy. And there are no words that can express it. But thank God for the Spirit of God who makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And the Bible says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So the Spirit of the Lord, he's making intercession for us. In our times of despair, in our times of grief, in our times of perplexity, the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. And the Spirit of God knows the will of God. And he makes intercession. Have you ever prayed with prayers? There was no words that you know how to express it. But the Spirit of God prayed through you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you that God makes intercession for us. The Spirit of God makes intercession for us. Jesus is our intercessor. And we are called to be intercessors as well. We are called to make intercession, to pray on behalf of other people. And I know sometimes it's hard for us to get past the point where we feel like we've got so many needs and so much to pray about for ourselves, to push beyond that to where our mind is on the needs of other people. And we begin to pray for the needs of other people. But your prayers will never be as effective as they ought to be until you pray beyond yourself, until your prayers begin to affect others around you, until you begin to intercede for other people and see the needs that are there in other people. Listen. You understand that as the Christian life is not a self-centered life. The Christian is that person who looks beyond himself, who is interested in the glory of God and in the well-being of his neighbor. He loves God with all of his heart. He loves his neighbor as himself. So our prayers push beyond our needs, and we intercede. We pray on behalf of others. There is power in intercessory prayer. There have been some powerful intercessors that in the Bible tells us about Moses praying for the nation of Israel. Three times he stood in the gap, made up the hedge, and God spared Israel when God had said, "I'll wipe them out." Three times Moses interceded for the nation of Israel, and God spared the whole nation. I'm telling you, one man interceded with God, and a whole nation was spared. Three times God said, "I'm going to wipe them out." And three times Moses interceded for them. And three times God answered that prayer and spared a whole nation because one man prayed. Hallelujah! One man prayed and God spared a whole nation. Oh, God, help us. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother, we don't realize the power of prayer. We don't realize the power of intercession. We are to pray beyond ourselves. God hears intercessory prayer. Look at Abraham praying for Sodom. When the angels come by his house, let him know they're on the way to Sodom. And Sodom is about to be judged. And the Lord stays behind while the other two angels go on, and he tells Abraham what he's about to do. And Abraham begins to intercede with the Lord. He says, "Lord, suppose that there are 50 righteous people in Sodom. Will you spare the city? And the Lord said, yes, if I can find 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the city. Now, Abraham knew that his nephew Lot and his family was there. But he did not just pray, God, I want you to spare Lot and his family. You understand this? This was a wicked city. Sinners exceedingly before the Lord. Homosexuality was prevalent there. It was an immoral society. And Abraham is interceding and saying, God, if you can find 50 righteous people in that place, will you spare the whole city? Hey, I wonder if that kind of love and that kind of compassion is in our hearts toward a wicked society that we live in. We live in a Sodom and Gomorrah, brother, but God's looking for intercessors with a burden upon their heart for the souls of people in this society. Abraham prayed, God, would you spare the whole city? God said, I will. And Abraham was not certain about that many, and so he come on down to 10, and God said, if I can find 10 righteous people in that place, I'll spare. When Abraham got up the next morning, the cities were burning in the plains. But Abraham's prayers had not been in vain. Because before God sent the fire and brimstone upon those cities, the angel of the Lord took Lot by the hand and said, I can't do anything here until I get you out of here. You know why? Because Uncle Abraham had been praying. I can't do anything here until I get you out of here. I'm telling you, brother, the intercessory prayers of God's people make a difference in somebody else's life. We're called to be intercessors. There's power in the prayer of intercessors. It reclaims backsliders. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, if he sees his brother sin a sin not unto death, he shall ask. He shall ask and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, the prayers, the intercessory prayers of God's people works for the salvation of lost souls and backsliders. And I'm telling you that there are souls saved in this service this morning because somebody prayed for you. You might not realize, you might not put all the threads together, but I'm telling you, brother, there was prayers going on somewhere for most of the people in this place this morning. Somebody prayed for you and interceded for you, and God heard those prayers and dealt with you in mercy. My wife is sitting here saved this morning because when she was in danger of going to hell, we were engaged to be married, and she's raised in church, sit on the piano stool, in and out of the altar, preacher's daughter, but not really born again. Still had a rebellious heart, hidden and cloaked by an exterior of holiness. We had a car accident December before we were married in June. And then in that car accident, my wife came to the realization, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. And that very evening, in my father and mother's house, in the living room at the couch, where we knelt to thank God for mercy, she surrendered her heart and life to Jesus and hasn't never been the same since. We got on the phone. I was carrying her to Atlanta, Georgia to catch the airplane to come to Virginia, home to Virginia. We'd been visiting my parents in Alabama. And we called her father to tell him not to go to the airport, that Judy wasn't coming. We'd had an accident. She was all right. And he related how at breakfast that morning, The Holy Ghost had prompted him to go pray. And he got up and went to the old house where he's fixing up, where he lives now. He was fixing it up then. Went up to the old house and began to intercede. He said he felt like one of his children was in trouble. He didn't know which one. But he was a praying and interceding. And I am certain that it was that prayer that spared us that day. We hit an icy bridge. Our car went out of control, come off the bridge sideways, rolled down an embankment, and we both got out of there with just a few scratches on us. My wife is saved this morning because there was a father who was sensitive to the Holy Ghost and who prayed, and God spared his daughter and saved her soul. I'm telling you, brother, that intercession is a powerful tool in the hands of God's children. God has called us to be intercessors. It will affect the atmosphere of our nation. God said, I want you to make intercession for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Brother, I pray for our president. I think he's the most liberal president we've ever had in the history of this nation, perhaps. And the direction he's taken this nation is a grief to my heart in moral matters, in other matters as well. But I love that man's soul, and I pray for that man. I pray for his soul to be saved. I pray for that precious wife and those two precious daughters. I pray, God, save them. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Jesus. And this is the will of God for us. Every man that gets saved, brother, he governs from a different perspective. And I've been praying, God, save them, Lord. Help them to be born again. They've got a soul just like anybody else, and God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders, and our prayers have an effect that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Our prayers have an effect on the atmosphere of this country. Not only that, but we intercede for the saints of God. The Bible tells us, James chapter 5, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. We are to pray one for another. Our prayers strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's easy for us to pick out their faults. Sometimes it's not so easy for us to get on our knees and plead with God to help our brother and sister. I want you to know, everybody in this church that you found fault with, God can help them through your prayers. You might look around and say, hey, this one's this away and that one's that away, and criticize this one and criticize that one. But you will do much more good if you'll get on your knees and pray and say, God, this brother has a problem. I can see it very clearly. He doesn't seem to see it. But would you reveal it to him? Would you help him? And our prayers strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to pray for one another. You know when he says, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another. What is this confessing your faults one to another? It's making known the fact that not only do you need prayer, I need prayer as well. Huh? So not only am I going to pray for you, not only am I going to intercede for you, but I want you to intercede for me. I need your prayer. We pray, our prayers strengthen one another. The Apostle Paul, that great man of faith, that powerful missionary for Christ, that man asked for prayer. He said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, or he said verse 2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Pray for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul said to the Thessalonians, finally, my brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Pray for us. He said in Philippians chapter 1, he's in prison. He says in chapter 1 in verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. This is his expectation, this is his hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Here's a man in prison for preaching the gospel, asking for prayer. I know you're praying, and this is my expectation. This is my hope. Not that I get out of prison. That's not what he was hoping for. This is not what he's asking for prayer for. But that I'll never be ashamed of Jesus. That I'd have the boldness, as always, so now, to glorify and magnify Christ in my body, whether it be by life or by death. This great apostle was depending on the prayers of the people of God. My, do you depend on the prayers of God's people? Do you? And do you pray for the people of God? I don't know of anything that would knit a body of people together more than an active, intercessory prayer life for the people of God. I said, I don't know anything that would knit a body of people together more than an active, intercessory prayer life for the people of God. Hallelujah. Oh my. I pray that God will fill our hearts with divine love. The love of God. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And that love is demonstrated in our life by our intercession for one another. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Calling the names of brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh God, would you have mercy on my brother? Would you have mercy on my sister? Would you save their children? I got children too. I got lost people too. But Lord, save the children of my brother and sister. I'm telling you, I believe God will hear us better, don't you? If we get beyond ourselves and start praying for somebody else. I believe he will. I believe God will pay attention to us when we get beyond ourselves and we start interceding for other people that desperately need our prayers. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Y'all, this is what the Lord gave me for this morning. Intercessory prayer. I feel like if God will work this in everybody's heart in this church, we're going to see a flame of fire burning in the house of God when every one of us pray beyond ourselves. We begin to pray for the well-being of our brother and sister in Christ and the salvation of the souls of people in the families that we know in our church. And our acquaintance, we get beyond ourselves. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You know, you got to spend some time with God to do it now, children. It takes you a while to get beyond yourself. You got to spend some time with God to get beyond yourself and say, God, somebody else needs my prayers.